As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
They've seen a lot of one-goal leads.
Now here's a 2-on-1. Nylander going in on the right side! Scores!
Very important 6 minutes and 54 seconds. As the Leafs get the LA Kings caught on a turnover, and William Nylander converts on a 2-on-1.
I always leave it to Jim Ralph to hijack a call from Joe Bowen there on the Leafs Radio Network. 2 third period goals in 30 seconds. The difference. Leafs crown the Kings 3-1. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Producer Sam McKee. Technical op Vic Palladian along for the ride as well. Plenty ahead over the next hour, including Chris Johnston from Scotiabank Arena. Some postgame remarks. You know, Gord, we were talking off air. Mike Babcock must be elated with this hockey game. Shots on goal. They surrendered one goal. Like, he is a happy dude tonight, isn't he?
Well, we were saying this when it was 1-1, not 1-1, but maybe 2-1 about that, because it really had been a rather dull game at home. Like, it would have been a great road game by the LA Kings, yes, all in all, and probably a nice road game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, you know, people pay a lot of money for tickets, and it's supposed to be some entertainment value, and they got some of it. It was great. You got to Mike Babcock will be happy. Everyone will be happy about the win. He probably would be happy more about Freddie Gauthier and all the other things like that. But Austin Matthews, who had not done much till the third period, and William Nylander, who hadn't done much of late, they get 2 goals in 30 seconds that show exactly what the Toronto Maple Leafs have. It's been a long time, we know it, having these kind of skilled players in the Toronto Maple Leaf lineup. So it's been frustrating with this rather pedestrian start that you haven't seen, like, say, a 7-2 win. Well, that 30 seconds could have been a 7-2 game if you extrapolated. So it was enough to be the difference maker. The fans go home extremely happy. Before, they would have gone home happy, but maybe a little bit bored.
Yeah, bottom line, I think in the win column for the Maple Leafs, a crucial 3-game stretch, I think we'd both agree, before 13 of 16 on the road, the next two, following this victory, this 3-1 win against the LA Kings at home before they hit the road major in the month of November. And I think that's what makes, you know, Austin Matthews and Nylander along the same conversation. When you don't expect it, they strike, and they'll strike plenty of times, not just once. And again, you're totally right. Like, Austin Matthews had a really, really quiet game, but had sort of an epiphany moment in the third period. And those two were cooking, because we've seen the chemistry time and time again.
Yeah, and then to get to Nylander's really the wild card. What is William Nylander? Because if he is what he did on that goal, and we've seen glimpses of, then that contract that was so talked about and was so hard to negotiate actually ends up being a club-friendly contract because of his skill. And so we saw that, and you're right about like Austin Matthews is kind of, he had no shot attempts after 2 periods, but you like to see him dominate more over a 60-minute game. And he does that in many games, but he's also kind of that smiling, laid back assassin that he's out there. And that's why you got to play these guys. That's why the guys have to get the minutes. Cause guy, you know, I don't care how hard Nick Batan or Devin Shore or anybody, you know, out there plays, and I respect what they do, they can't do what Austin Matthews does. You know, and that's why that game against Washington, when they couldn't get him out there, when they pulled the goaltender, is he's got to be out there. He's got to be out there because he does things, and that's why he's paid like things among the very few elite in the NHL.
You're exactly right, because on numerous radio stations, not just this one over the last week, I've been posed the question, are the Maple Leafs a playoff team? And again, I keep resorting to the same answer. You have superstar talent. And at the end of the day, Gord, as you know, an 82-game sample size is large enough to suggest that your skill is going to take over. And that's why I don't think people should be concerned. Like, you look at Austin Matthews, you look at Mitch Marner, you look at Nylander, John Tavares returns to the lineup. These guys are way too talented to be quieted for that long. And that's why I sort of hold out hope that I think we both agree there's going to be a game where the Maple Leafs break out completely offensively, no?
In a regular season, yes, because playoffs, as we saw, yeah, like the Tampa Bay Lightning running into Columbus, and all of a sudden you have matchups, you have a lot of things, you're playing the same team night in, night out. But over 82 games in a regular season, certain teams, even if they're not good in playoffs, talent rules the day. And we've seen this in Toronto so many years. trying to eke into a playoff spot, not a super talented team, and usually, well, actually falling short for a long period of time. So, yeah, the playoff thing is, again, the Chicken Little thing, the sky's falling down. I'm cool the way the Leafs are playing. They're understanding the 82 games, and they're trying to figure things out now, try some things now. One thing I'm happy about tonight as well, man, John Tavares, he comes back. It's great to have him back. I heard you chatting in the first intermission, like, he missed a goal that he would score 999 out of 1,000 times. And whether it's rustiness, whether he's still not 100%, I don't know. But I'm glad that doesn't end up being the moment etched in stone about a loss last night against the LA Kings, the fact that John Tavares had a wide open net and couldn't bury it.
Yeah, and again, he brings so many intangibles to the table that you don't even notice. So great to see the captain. I keep forgetting John Tavares is the captain of the Maple Leafs, back in the lineup. A 3-1 win here for the Leafs. By the way, if you were wondering, Toronto was 3-2-2 without their captain John Tavares in the lineup. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame. Breaking it all down, a 3-1 win at Scotiabank Arena for the Maple Leafs. So you mentioned John Tavares. Mitch Marner, John Tavares together. Who's on their wing? How about Mr. Showcase himself, Nick Patan? What did you make of that decision, Gord?
Well, they're just trying to get guys to get them going. See, yeah. The Showcase thing, and again, I heard you chatting about it, like the scouts attend games, and that's what they're paid to do. And actually, they do a lot on video now. It's a busy job. It's a real busy job.
It is.
And so a lot go to Toronto because in Toronto is a hub.
It's a hub, yeah.
So they show up. So, yeah, it's not like there's any surprise. Like some guys go, wow, this Nick Patan guy, he just ate it up in the American Hockey League. So I think just Mike Babcock was looking to reward a guy that got 4 points over the weekend or killed it on the weekend and try to help the offense a little bit. The only way he'll probably get traded is if New Jersey, Detroit, one of those bottom dwellers wants to do something. Or we saw, you know, a trade when New Jersey had Louis Domingue when a goaltender gets injured, that kind of thing. But he's not surprising anybody. But the great part is about a guy going to the American Hockey League, used to get guys, and they would get upset, and they would say, well, I'm as good as, name the fourth line player, whatever it may be. And I would say, and go back then, we're in camps, but, you know, you'd say, yeah, why don't you go down there and kick ass? So in future, when the discussion is, you're not even in the discussion. And I remember Gary Lehman did it, Steve Thomas, for example, guys way back, and that's kind of what Nick Patan's going. And I heard, you know, making the point about, is he an NHL player or not? He's kind of saying, well, what else can I do? And you just keep doing it and doing it. And last year, Trevor Moore did just that. And all of a sudden, with the Leafs aren't going to do it, somebody will notice you and give you a chance.
Holy smokes. Like, I compare it, you know, even to radio. At times, I think young broadcasters can get sort of, you know, annoyed or lose confidence in themselves because that opportunity hasn't come. But I think you're totally right. If you're Nick Patan, the best thing you can do is just continue to illustrate your ability to produce, right? Wherever you play, whether it's in the American Hockey League, whether it's being in the 1 a.m. time slot or in the 4 p.m. time slot. So I think there's a really nice correlation there, and I think you're totally right at Nick Patan, 12:57 in this game, a 3-1 win for the Maple Leafs. I think another team that, quite frankly, could be looking, and there is some correlation, is DJ Smith's Ottawa Senators. He knows the player better or a bit more. I know he was only there for a couple months last year coming over. And your favorite deal last year, Per Lindholm for Nick Patan at the trade deadline.
Boy, I remember where I was, too.
Yeah.
I was asleep.
You heard it in your dreams, and it happened in reality, Gord. But I think Ottawa's a team who would just love to have, you know, somebody with a heartbeat play in that lineup right now who's got some offensive upside.
Well, those, you know, the fears with the Toronto Maple Leafs, a guy like Mason Raymond had a great season, and he got a 3-year contract from the Calgary Flames. I mean, those kind of opportunities used to be there. David Booth did it, you know, guys like that.
Grabner,
to varying degrees. And yeah, you're right. And Grabner got a contract as well. So those are the kind of opportunities. And some of the guys will stick with the team as well. So you're right about Ottawa on that. Toronto was doing that years ago. And P.A. Parenteau and all these guys, you try different guys out. And that's the kind of journey or destiny that the Nick Patans or whoever the elite, almost NHLers, but elite AHLers that need waivers may get a crack at.
That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. The Maple Leafs winning on home ice 3-1 the final against the Los Angeles Kings. Meantime, another thing I really noticed, or another player I should mention that I noticed in this game, and he's recently coming back from injury, Travis Dermott started to motor a bit here. 13-31 of ice in this game. I think that's a key for this Maple Leafs team over the next couple weeks. They are getting healthier. Hyman not back in the lineup, but I think by far Travis Dermott's best outing of the early season. For
yeah,
him.
And he had one of those plays where he jumped in on the rush, and Jonathan Quick, who actually played really well
he
up to when it was 1-1.
He got held out to dry, though, in a couple of those goals,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's tough for any goalie.
He's getting like John Gibson was in Anaheim
correct.
You know, you end up being the best guy on what was a very bad team last year for a chunk in Anaheim. But I just was like, I like Dermott has that as part of his repertoire. Jumped in again, nice glove save by the goaltender. But yeah, these are the guys, like, you know, a little bit by bit, the unit. And again, you know, you've got a stud in Morgan Rielly. The last time, or one of the last times, the Leafs made it, or even the last time, when you think about it, they haven't had a stud D back in 25 years ago. You know, it was Dave Ellett and Jamie McCown and Sylvain Lefebvre and Bob Rouse and Dmitry Mironov and Todd Gill. And then you look early this time, it was the Thomas Cabrales of the world. You know, there wasn't the stud guy vying to be in an all-star team. It was more... Brian McCabe, yeah. Well, he had a few moments that way till they changed the rules in 2005 coming back.
Yeah.
But in this case, you're looking for the depth, and it seems like he's one of them. Maybe Justin Hall will be good enough to make it. And then you have a stud in Morgan Rielly, and... who knows? We'll see what gives. It continues to be a work in progress, but there are positive signs.
Speaking of work in progress, Gord Stellick, special teams. They had a couple of power play opportunities in this game.
What's going on?
I know. Even like the Even the PK, right? Like it's so the power play conversation, Gord, is so interesting on many levels, because as soon as they got John Tavares, the whole conversation, the best power play in the league, right?
But yeah.
I think when you put that expectation... and how many times have we seen, even in recent memory, in the National Hockey League? Look at Nashville last year. They have star power after star power. Guys who can run a power play up the yin-yang. You know, they had Subban. They had Roman Josi. The list goes on. And they stunk up the joint. So I think just because you have the best players or, you know, superstar talent doesn't mean you find the chemistry in special teams.
Yeah, Nashville's a great example. Yeah. It made no sense. And they were brutal. And then, you know, you talk about decades ago, great Montreal Canadian teams. And Scotty Bowman, because he's always relevant, but he just talked about that great Montreal Canadian power play with Guy Lafleur and everybody. He said, when we practiced it, it got all screwed up in practice, so we'd stop. Like, Guy Lafleur was terrible. And then in games, they just did what was natural, and they killed on it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I think there is a little bit of a mix of that. If you have skill and you're outnumbering the players, you know, lean on that skill rather than totally systematic. But the Leafs have this thing, maybe one extra pass sometimes when it works. It's phenomenal. It's almost like a guy playing under the basket in basketball, he gets it where you think you're going to shoot and try to stuff it in. Then he throws it back, and you'd be taking a three-pointer in the NBA. Instead, you're hoping to get a much better scoring chance on the NHL in the power play.
So is that what you're preaching, simplicity maybe to start, to get your mojo going again for the Maple Leafs power play?
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
Very simple, very humble. You know, so I think in the NHL, kind of idea that way.
I think you're right, because I think they have been victim of that, you know, lately. Even, you know, we like to laugh about it, but it took 11 rounds to win that shootout. But you're pulling out the Kucherov moon when you're Dmytro Timoshov. Like, come on, like, just put the puck in the net sometimes, or think about putting the puck in the net. Although you want to be deceiving to the goalie. But I think you're right. I think when it comes to the power play, just utilize those shots. I would go to the well with Austin Matthews. That's what makes even a goal scorer one of the best maybe ever, clearly, in Alex Ovechkin. You know it's coming. You still can't stop him. I would like them to utilize the Matthews shot a bit more, because he has one of the best shots on this planet.
Yeah, and by the way, I may be simple, but I'm not humble. Just to be clear about that. It's so, you know, and even, I tell you things, it's, I love now every single coach is out there watching the pregame warm-up. And they're taking notes. Like, seriously? That's like cramming for an exam. Like, if you know, when you do that at school, you're screwed, right? I mean, like, I don't know what it is. So that now the minutia is about something. You know, I don't know. Like, instead of like, wow, if you're trying to make Leaf fan, it's Leafs Nation, have Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, you know, like, wow. And then a bunch of other guys that are way more skilled than the Maple Leafs have had in recent years. And always scribbling, man. I don't know. It's just, I know part of it, people have to justify their jobs, and I respect their jobs that way. But sometimes just let it go a little bit more.
Speaking of letting it go, the last couple days, you know, 2 days in Toronto can be like 5 days somewhere else. But another guy taking some slack again, here we go again, is William Nylander. He was benched back on Saturday against the Philadelphia Flyers. I thought he responded better in this game against the Los Angeles Kings, but you talk about the power play. They just don't want to give Nylander an opportunity to be on PP1, where I think he deserves to be. He's got the better shot than Marner. How many times have you been looking at the TV or listening or whatever we're doing watching these games this year and saying, why is Marner taking that shot when he doesn't have the shot Austin Matthews had? Like, you have to keep the defenders honest, the goaltender honest. And quite frankly, it's with all due respect to Mitch Marner, a very prolific player, strong player, great player in this league, but he doesn't have a shot. Like, I'd rather take my chances with the William Nylander on either side You know, to correlate perfectly with an Austin Matthews and a Mitch Marner.
Yeah, well, I think it's a very valid point. Yeah. And like what a terrible problem to have four forwards like that, right? Yeah. You know, in all seriousness. Yeah. And then it is though where the year that P.A. Parenteau was the only 20 goal scorer, the Leafs were full of guys that sat in economy. Well, right now, Matthews, Tavares, and Marner sit in first class. And Nylander's in business class.
With Gord Stellick, by the way.
He's better than economy. Yeah, only, yeah, if I got, if I know somebody, chat it up. But anyway, that's kind of it. Like, you know, the Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. The John Tavares is the huge Christmas present that just landed there. So that's just the way it is. And you're paying them that money. And so, and Nylander historically, Mike Babcock, and I think rather successfully, he's been a little bit harder on Nylander from time to time and has had to remind him of playing the 200-foot game and things like that. To Nylander's credit, he responds to it. He doesn't take it personal.
And I think the thing when you look at Willie Nylander is just consistency. For a guy, and again, you hate to correlate the player to the money, but especially in Toronto, we will a lot, just under $7 million. He just doesn't bring it every night, and that's been the case. And, you know, to that point, I got to ask you, like, the conversation has been rearing its ugly head again here in Toronto. If the Maple Leafs were wondering or open to the conversation about moving William Nylander, do you buy that? Because I don't. I think it's a case of utilization of the media to get a name out there, to get a player's game going just a tad. How do you feel about it?
Well, trades aren't made during the season. You know, you do the hired gun trades by the trade deadline. Yeah. In the off season, if you are in a pinch and you liked Tyson Barrie and or Cody Ceci and Jason Muzzin, and there's a chance to get another, you know, defenseman, you know, say like Justin Falk was this year, you know, just that kind of thing with a year left at a modest salary, because that's the kind of juggling that Kyle Dubas is going to have to do in the short term. So that's when I could see Nylander being the guy, because he has term and not a cap-killing contract. You know, that's the only reason. He's not in the same class as Marner, Matthews, and Tavares, but a year is like 10 years. A year in a hockey season is like 10 years. So that's way down the road. But Nick, I honestly don't discount that talk, but it's under those particular circumstances around the draft and around next year when you're looking at next year shaping, molding the team.
You are right, because I think ultimately, and we'll see what happens, fingers crossed for this season, everything goes according to plan from 1967 this year for the Maple Leafs. Every offseason is open to interpretation and assessment. And I'd be interested to see where the Maple Leafs are after this season, because there will be holes, no?
Yeah, and I just hope it's not I hope it's not after the first round. If it's after the first round, Mike Babcock won't be making an end of season.
Well, me and
press
you
conference.
Could be out if it's not after the first round, right?
Or we'll be around. Yeah. It's just we're riding a wave.
We're on the
right
hot
now.
Seat. Girl.
We're riding a wave, but you won't have that weird press conference of like I keep talking about Mike Babcock and Kyle Dubas, where you said, "Did you guys work with the same two teams?" I mean, it's going to be
the best.
It's going to be put to bed one way or another, and hopefully for Leaf Nation fans, it's in a positive way, because it wasn't a first-round exit.
You never know. Babcock can get like a 7-year extension if that's possible. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberger. The Maple Leafs back on the winning track. That's now two in a row after this 3-1 win against the Los Angeles Kings at Scotiabank Arena. More post-game coming your way. Mike Babcock, some of the players, and also Chris Johnston, who took in the festivities tonight at Scotiabank Arena. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to the Leafs Hour podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, Leafs Nation postgame continues, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, coming off a 3-1 Leafs victory on home ice against the Los Angeles Kings. Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada is coming up from Scotiabank Arena. Also here from Mike Babcock, and go inside the locker room a little later on here on the program. But another busy, prototypical Tuesday night, Gord, in the National Hockey League, spearheaded by another win for the New York Islanders. That's now 10 in a row for John Tavares' former team.
Yeah, and the best fourth line or third line, Cal Clutterbuck and Casey Cizikas, coming up with each had a goal and assist. What, they win? 4-1?
Yep. Right, yeah. 4-1 and, final.
And Cole Bardrow, that's why I'm looking up this fun stat from Steve Fellin. So he gets his first career NHL goal with the New York Islanders, undrafted. Seventh player in NHL history who scores his first career NHL goal, Nick, on a penalty shot.
Wow.
And here's the illustrious other six. And this isn't going to sound good for Cole Bardrow. Ralph Bowman. I know his nickname, Scotty. I don't know. Phil Honey. Don't know where he is.
Dad jokes.
Reggie Savage. Kind of remember him. Jay McClement. Played a little bit with the Leafs.
Yep.
Andrew Miller. And Ilkka Sinisalo. Ilkka Scorigola was the Philadelphia Flyers sign guy way back when. So it's not exactly an illustrious Hall of Fame class, but Cole Bardrow scored a goal on a penalty shot, first career for the New York Islanders.
In the record books, and you look at the Bardrow story, it's amazing.
In a row.
26 years old. It took him a long, long time to get to the National Hockey League and to score your first NHL goal in that capacity. No young player could ever dream of that. So good on Bardrow. Good on the New York Islanders. And the Maple Leafs have the Islanders coming up next week. That's going to be a tough night. I wonder how many rubber snakes might be thrown on the ice that night.
For what?
John Tavares.
Well, snakes, no. Last time they did the baby stuff. They
I
were
got
doing
the rubber snakes going.
Is that what they're doing
they
now?
They call them a snake. You know I'm in touch with Islanders Nation, my man.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a tough environment. I don't know what it's going to compare to the first time John Tavares returns there. But
does.
That's always going to be a storyline. So I can't wait for that one coming up next week.
I'll give them my regards.
There you go. And I mean, you take advantage of whoever your opponent is. The Ottawa Senators, one of the worst teams in this league, coming off the high of beating the New York Rangers on Broadway, and you play them in a back-to-back, or we know how you feel about those.
Yeah, well, and Ottawa won 6-2 last night. They did a really good job against the New York Rangers, their first road win of the season. I mean, this was almost a laydown.
You know, it's pretty incredible. Speaking of laydowns, that game at the Bell Center in Montreal always gives Boston a run for their money. You know, it's similar to a lot of teams out there. You always have that one opponent you always seem to get the better hand of. And for Montreal, one of the better teams in this league to take on the Boston Bruins and always seem to get the better of them. It happened tonight, a crazy 5-4 win for the Montreal Canadiens. I love the Mete story, too. It took him like a billion days to score his first NHL goal, scores his second
Now he
tonight.
Can't stop.
Yeah.
He's on a flurry. You know, what a weird place for Zdeno Chara to play his 1,500th career NHL game. Considering how he was vilified unbelievably on the Pacioretty hit like they wanted the RCMP to arrest him for attempted murder.
So the RCMP in Montreal, and Quebec.
They are. And he got, of course, a phenomenal ovation by the excellent Bell Center fans there. But Montreal, give him full marks. I mean, we think about right now about Carolina to a certain degree. Of course, they lost tonight. We'll talk about that. But the Islanders being the big story. Montreal, they're hanging around. They're winning some big games.
Claude Julien's an excellent coach. We know this by
excellent
now.
Excellent coach.
But he gets the most out of every player on his roster, taking nothing away from other coaches around this league, but he seems to extract value up and down the lineup.
Yeah, and right, you know, a guy like Carl Alzner that he said, you know, I don't care about your consecutive game streak. I don't care that we're paying you a lot of money. You don't fit in on my team. You know, nothing personal. So.
By the way, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Thursday night opponent at Scotiabank Arena, a 2-1 win on the road at Nationwide Arena in Columbus. Riley Smith, shorthanded goal, the game winner there in the second period. But Maple Leafs getting set for Vegas after this 3-1 win to Los Angeles, against Los Angeles, I should say, on this Tuesday night. Let's go back now to Scotiabank Arena where we join Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. We haven't heard from Coach Babcock just yet, but safe to say he was happy with his team tonight.
Yeah, it was an ugly game for all of us, and it was a beautiful game for, for Mike Babcock. That was his words, is that, you know, he felt like that was the kind of game that his guys need to go through in terms of just being tested with their, frustration. You know, there really weren't a lot of shots on goal. Leafs had pretty good possession numbers through two periods, but certainly didn't direct a lot of pucks directly on Jonathan Quick. And, you know, they were in a position to give that game away, let's face it. I mean, you get to the second half of the third period in a 1-1 game. We've seen them lose some close games this season under similar circumstances. And even though there was a significant talent mismatch with the two teams on the ice, you know, that could have went badly for the Leafs. So I think that they're hoping that coming through one of those, and I'm sure there'll be more, will be good for the guys, and we'll have to see. I mean, I was reminded of the fact that Austin Matthews and William Nylander can have a pretty quiet night and then have two decisive plays, you know, within 30 seconds of each other to tilt the game in the Leafs' favor, which is always a benefit of having that kind of skill in your lineup.
Well, absolutely. And to that last point, Chris, is and we got it. Nick and I were saying Mike Babcock will love this. He'll love the ugly win, and good on him. It's 2 points. But I don't know if Mike Babcock knows. He makes $6 million a year because it's like $600 for a pair of tickets to go to those games. And, you know, people do not want to see, you know, and I loved Roger Nielsen, but that style. So that's why in 30 seconds, you see Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and it reminds everybody, there are very few players in the NHL that can do that, and very, very few teams that have three or four elite forwards like that that can. So I love that. I mean, you know, fans want to see it. These guys can do it. This is the X factor they have, and we haven't seen enough of it. You think it's going to explode for seven goals in a game soon, but at least they got two in 30 seconds, and they were beautiful. So you go home happy if you're a Leaf fan based on that 30 seconds.
Yeah, and, you know, we have to remember there's two teams on the ice, right? And you know, I think the Kings dictated a little bit the style of game to a degree. I mean, they did a pretty good job of clogging the neutral zone. You know, there weren't many Leafs rushes where you saw players with speed coming into the offensive zone and creating chances. I mean, it wasn't the kind of game that certainly the star players the Leafs have would love to play in. I'm sure it was a bit of a challenge. And so, you know, it's not just the Leafs coaching staff that results in a game like this. I think, you know, a lot of it is due to the opponent. And, you know, it's almost like when you watch Canada internationally play against Germany or what have you, and you know, the goal is to keep it as low scoring as possible, to not trade chances and to try to squeak out a game on specialty teams. And, you know, it didn't work for the Kings tonight.
Chatting with Chris Johnson, a 3-1 win for the Maple Leafs on home ice against the Los Angeles Kings. And like you on Tim and Sid a couple weeks ago, Travis Dermott was dancing tonight, CJ. More so the player we've seen in the past, and obviously it's going to take him a couple games. What do you think of his performance?
Well, I think it's a sign that he is feeling a little more comfortable and that he's getting close to being back. I mean, it's probably still a ways off before he's feeling totally normal, before it's you know, mid-season form for him, just because he did miss training camp with the team, and that was only the third game he's played since coming back from his off-season shoulder surgery. But, you know, I thought that very assertive. You know, it's got to be the biggest surprise of the season so far, the way Justin Hall's played, and you know, the fact that Hall and Dermott have played a little bit with the Marlies. I mean, I thought that pairing was pretty strong for them tonight at moving the puck. We saw Dermott rush it there a couple times, including one where he went, you know, coast to coast early in the game. And so, you know, this is a positive step for the Leafs. And I think that's really what this stretch is all about. I mean, you get Tavares back tonight. You know, he's not back to normal yet. Zach Hyman, you know, Mike Babcock didn't rule out the possibility he's back Thursday, but certainly I would think Saturday is likely for him, if not for the game against Vegas. And so, you know, the team's getting healthy and we're starting to get a clearer picture, I guess, of how it all looks together, because until now it's only been on paper the way we've been able to evaluate where they're at.
Did Nick say you danced on Tim and Sid?
You did.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah, there's a pretty good meme of it. My nephew actually sent it to me, my 15-year-old nephew. So I'll text it to you when we're done our hit, Gord,
okay,
if you want to check
okay,
it out.
Okay, I like it. I like it. You move quickly at the game, so I'm sure you're just as adept on the dance floor. So that's great to see. What do you make of who's going to be, like, the shuffle? When musical chairs, when it's done, and Zach Hyman's here, and who exactly goes?
You know, I don't really know, if I'm being honest. I mean, if you go by who's playing, you know, I would say that doesn't say good things. You know, if you're Martin Marincin, if you're Jason Spezza, and even though he played tonight, I think Nick Petan is likely to be the third odd man out there. But, you know, I think we have to remember that the coaching staff makes the decision on playing time, and, you know, management doesn't always see things the same way. And it will also be a management call, obviously, with consultation, you know, from the coaches. So, you know, I don't know that I'm really just guessing. I mean, based on what we're seeing, I mean, to me, it likely comes down to a choice between Spezza and Nick Shore for the third decision. I think Petan and Marincin are two naturals. I think they'll protect Dmytro Timoshov, if only just because he's so young. And, you know, I know he was scratched tonight, but I think he's played reasonably well. And so if you're just looking at an asset management standpoint, you got two right-hand centermen, veteran players, earning similar money. And so, you know, it looks to me like unless there's something bigger in the works in terms of a trade, that it comes down to those two guys. And, you know, I don't have any sense, you know, nothing I can report on what's going to happen there. And, you know, I think we're going to find out here in the next couple of days, though, because three depth players do need to be moved off this roster for Zach Hyman to be activated from long-term injury. And it sounds like he's any minute now is ready to come off that list.
Chris, do you envision a scenario where it's not someone we think, you know, of the guys you just mentioned, like, you know, more of a mainstay type name that has moved in the short term here? Or is it likely what you said is going to happen?
I think it's more likely to be, you know, just three depth players. Mm-hmm. That then say taking one player who makes $2 or $3 million or $4 million off the roster. Just at this point in time, I don't see the Leafs making a bigger move. I mean, look, we could all be caught off guard here. It's certainly a possibility, and it would be a way for them to, you know, carry 22 or 23 players beyond this, potentially, if they're able to take more cap space off in one move. But, you know, at this time, I just think it's the easiest thing for them to do. If we're looking big picture, I mean, the Marlies have been rolling. And, you know, they basically have a first line of players that could be the fourth line for the Maple Leafs if needed. And so, you know, I think that they have a lot of depth. You know, obviously, this is likely going to, you know, involve at least one trade, I would think, of a player being sent elsewhere, and certainly, you know, potentially passing another guy or two through waivers. And you know, obviously, you're at risk of losing a player when you do that. But, you know, I think the Leafs have built the kind of depth where they can take that risk. So, you know, that to me seems to be the most likely outcome here. And, you know, I'm as curious as everyone else, just because this has kind of hung over the team, I think, to a degree, you know, from a media standpoint, the last couple of weeks, just trying to figure out, you know, how all this was going to fall into place.
We'll see what happens. Chris, excellent job. We'll talk on Thursday night after the Vegas-Toronto game. Thanks so much for this.
All right, boys. We look forward to it.
There you have it. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and HockeyNet in Canada. And before we hit the break, I pose a question to you. Like, I think Chris is totally right. It's more likely that it's guys like Patan and Spezza, and we wonder about that, because I don't think you really want to rock the boat right now for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and you know, the other point he made is that we had contracts. Like these things, everyone talks about that's not a distraction. It is a distraction. Went through with William Nylander, somewhat to a degree with Austin Matthews, but then that became controversial because it impacted Mitch Marner's negotiations and then got Mitch Marner done. And just like now, when you're talking about, you know, I like that he got all the moving pieces involved. Mike Babcock did. He didn't let anyone sit in the press box too long. And Justin Hall is a revelation that way, because he's playing rather solid. But the fact that the sword of Damocles is hanging over them, like, let's get it done. You're right, because there's too much talking about.
What's the holdup, though?
Well, I mean, you know, I take it, you know, Ground Zero is coming up with Zach Hyman. Now Tavares is back, so his contract, you know, they never put his contract on long term anyway. Whatever. So, you know, the cap guys just say, you know, it's whatever. It's like you have to come up with a minimum card payment on your Visa or MasterCard or Amex. And then if you screw up, then they want more. Mm-hmm. Then you got to come up with a lump sum on top of it. And that's kind of what the Leafs have to do right now. They were getting by with little payments, barely doing the minimum. But now it's like, no, you guys got to come up with something big.
It's fascinating, the developments in the Babcock, Spezza, whatever we want to call it. The fact that he goes out there and registers a goal and an assist and can't make the lineup in the next game. But I think that's pretty crazy if that's the final game as a Maple Leaf for Jason Spezza. Gets 1-1 against Philadelphia, isn't it?
Well, last year, when William Nylander came back, they had to trade Josh Levo, who really wanted to be a part of it. And right when they traded him, guys got hurt, right? So
amazing. Yeah.
That's what you kind of want to have around.
But they got some guys in the minor, like Pontus Aberg. They got guys in the minor.
Oh, I know that. But I just, on a team bereft of veterans, I think there's a positive to having Jason Spezza. That it doesn't happen when you're the new guy not playing much, but then if you become on a regular basis, I think he's a great guy to have.
Well, to sum up the conversation on that note, Nick Shore is not a guy who can play in your top six. Jason Spezza is a guy who can leap forward and give you a couple minutes. Say an example, John Tavares out of the lineup. So we'll see what the roster changes unfold in the next week or so for the Maple Leafs. But a 3-1 win here against the Los Angeles Kings on this Tuesday night. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Other side, we'll wrap things up. We'll hear from Mike Babcock and some of the players after this 3-1 win. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Don't go anywhere.
Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Well, almost unbelievably, for the first time since October 12th and 13th, the Maple Leafs have won back-to-back games. 3-1 the final tonight at Scotiabank Arena versus the Los Angeles Kings, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. First item up for business here in the final segment, let's hear from the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we knew as a coaching staff, obviously we did the pre-scout. we knew what we were in for. We knew it was going to be a grind. You know, after the first period, the teams were on pace for 21 shots. They did a real good job in the neutral zone. They did a real good job in their own zone blocking shots and staying on the inside. And they just stayed with it. But that's what they've been doing. And they got good leadership there. You know, if you look at it, they got stars in three positions, in Kopitar and Doughty, and then in net. And so they got some leadership for their group as they try to build it. And obviously their coach and their staff did a real good job. They made it hard. There was no free space. It was hard. But I thought it was a really good game for our team to just stay the course. This is where we are. Just do things right. Don't cheat, and you'll be rewarded in the end. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we're just talking about it. It doesn't matter what you do, how hard you train, what you work. I mean, it was fine, but it's you're not playing NHL games. That's just, and I imagine Hyman's going to go through, you know, a stretch too. It's hard when you're sitting out and everyone else is practicing. No matter who you work with and how good the development team is and all that stuff, it's still not an NHL hockey.
Does Sherman look more like the guy of old tonight
too? Yeah, I mean, the offensive side. You still got to, I mean, you can't have chances. You know, that's the key. So chances, you got to be safe. So you do all the other stuff and be safe, then you're like the old guy.
What did you think of Patan with Mitch and John?
Well, yeah, I thought it was good for Pete. He went to work. He went down, went to work, came back. And, you know, obviously there's a guy for that spot. And so there's not going to be a lot of opportunity. Morrissey's a real good hockey player too. So, but it was an opportunity, and we wanted to see Pete. It was good for him.
They got the two big goals at the end there. But did you think it was a tough night for the Matthews line to left one?
Well, I thought it was a tough night for every line. You know, it wasn't. I thought Kerfoot's line was real good, but there wasn't a whole lot. There wasn't, you know, from their end either. They didn't generate anything either. It was, you had to throw it in. You couldn't get it through from the point. It blocked shots. It was. Some people would think it was ugly. I thought it was beautiful.
Were you surprised what kind of impact Kerfoot has been able to have already in the season?
Well, I think Kerfoot's a good hockey player. He's a real smart person. He's a good person. He works hard. He's greasy. He's competitive. Knows how to play. He's just going to get better and better. I think we could have an unbelievable line there with Mick and Cappy once we get it organized and once they get to know each other and feel good.
What is okay with taking Mitch taking shorthand to
pass? Well, I wasn't, but I mean, the way I forget what happened, just the way it was. I mean, Hyman will take those right hand face off Roz when he's back. And, you know, Hyman's good at it, you know, work at it. But I mean, Shorzy's done a heck of a job for us there, really done a good job.
You find a game like that beautiful. Why
did
you say that?
Well, just because of the fact that we need to go through that. We need to figure out who we are, and the harder the game is, the better it is for us. Now, would you like to win by a touchdown and everyone relax and all that? Yeah, but we're not getting anywhere like that. This is important to do, is you give up one goal, you play well without the puck, goalie makes some saves. We didn't win it on specialty teams. You had to grind. It's good for us.
Knowing Todd as well as you do, is that what you expect from his teams?
Well, that's what I said this morning, is that every team you coach is different. And so the reason it's different is because you got a different group of guys. That's how he asked the coach to have success with this team. So, you know, I talked to him for a long time this morning. Did the pre-scout, you got a pretty good handle on what the program is there. And he's going to do a real nice job.
Is there a chance you get Hyman back pretty soon,
Mike? I don't know.
Shocker. Mike Babcock was very, very elated and happy with the performance of his team and the way that hockey game went. He also loves Nick Shore quite a bit.
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So I will differ. We totally get why he found it beautiful. I do understand, but it's just, hey, throw us a bone, Toronto Maple Leaf fans, about some of the excitement. We saw it, the 30 seconds, those two outstanding goals by Matthews and Nylander. Let's not forget Alexander Kerfoot, though. He got the goal to tie at 1-1. He got rocked by Jeff Carter in the first period, played under 3 minutes. And, yeah, I thought he played as as good a 60-minute game as anybody did for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that was a critical goal when they were down 1-0.
It's interesting, too, that it happened to Matthews earlier this year. He left the game, came back, and scored a goal. Same thing happens to Alex Kerfoot. So 3-1 win here for the Maple Leafs against the LA Kings. Sadly enough, Gord, we're not going to get our Garrett Sparks tribute video on Thursday. He's not with the team anymore, but it's the Maple Leafs hosting the Vegas Golden Knights. What do you make of that matchup?
We'll be at Scotiabank Arena. Of course, we'll have Leafs Nation pregame. Vegas, a nice win tonight. They've been blowing leads of late.
They have.
At home. They had a few injuries. They certainly welcome Nate Schmidt back, so that's been a plus. So, yeah, the one visit all season, and, man, this is what a – there's never been the E expansion word in front of the Vegas
Crazy.
Golden Knights. They're full value, so I'm looking forward to being down there Thursday, and, of course, we'll have all the action – on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Golden Knights 9-5-2 on the season, so very Leaf-like in the standings so far right now. Third in the Pacific Division for them, and we can't wait for that matchup coming up on Thursday night. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Vic Palladian for their hard work behind the scenes. Again, as Gord mentioned, join us on Thursday night starting at 6:30 Eastern time for Leafs Nation pregame as the Maple Leafs get set to host the Vegas Golden Knights. And for the final time tonight, Leafs take down the LA Kings 3-1 to improve to 8-5-3 on the early season. For Gord Stellick, I'm Nick Alberga, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.